Hello and welcome to Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindorf.
And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2020 is probably celebrating the triumphs of his Philadelphia pal, Kyle Lowry, who last night did things that are the reason for my exasperated intro to this podcast. I'm burnt out. I'm still a little bit shaky. That was something else last night, Raptors Celtics game 6. Katie, how are you holding up?
Oh, I'm okay. Operating on not too much sleep. I'm hanging in there. I just still am kind of in disbelief that they won that game. And I'll be honest, it wasn't until maybe into the second overtime that I was like, oh, yeah, this is for elimination. Like, it just kept slipping. It just, maybe it was like a self-protection mechanism my brain was helping me with, but it just kept slipping out of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I've been racked by nerves for many a basketball game. By the way, this is a general NBA podcast, but we are Raptors fans, and also the Raptors are the biggest story in the NBA today, so we're probably going to talk a lot about the Raptors on this podcast, and deservedly so, and the Celtics as well, because that series kicks ass, especially for a neutral. For us, it's a little bit more nerves and pain and screaming into pillows, but at one point, I just didn't even have words. I was just kind of pacing around my living room while Alana is sitting on the couch looking at me like some kind of freak. And I was just like saying, I was like George of the Jungle talk, basically. Just like Norm bad, no good. Kyle shot good, yes. Like I was just saying the big parts of the sentences and leaving out all the fluff. It was like, have you ever been as nerve-wracked by a basketball game? Because I don't think I have.
No. Like, yeah, I was. I think it's top three, probably. The OG shot, like, in God, I can't believe that was also just the series. But that shot, I guess I was more defeated because you didn't really have time to be nervous because I think, you know, I had already thought, all right, like, this one seems done. You know, it wasn't like, this was kind of like high stakes nerves for, well, the whole game and then two overtimes. My dad was texting me. It's very cute. Like when my parents were up north last week, they watched the games, but I didn't really expect them to go home and continue watching. So last night they were watching and they were both texting me separately. My dad was really like, who's playing this organ? Who's playing this hokey organ? He really hated it. And I was like, oh, it's pre-recorded. And then for overtime, only this morning was I like, ooh, like I got to get a better handle on myself. Cause he was like, how long is this now? Like meaning the overtime. And I just wrote back in all caps, 5 minutes of hell. So like, I think I have to be better about communicating with them. Anyway, yeah, I guess thinking back on all that, I was pretty stressed out.
I think one of my favorite things about the Raptors kind of making everyone a fan over the last couple of years is like parents of me and other Raptors. I mean, your parents getting involved as well, but like other Raptors focused people, like their parents getting involved and just the
so involved.
Just like the stream of content that they provide. Like my mom and grandma sent me a selfie from last night of them wearing my grandma in her Fred VanVleet jersey and my mom in her Raptors shirt that she wore to Maple Leaf Square or Jurassic Park for game 6 against the Bucks last year. They said, die hard always! !! See ya in game 7. I said, you guys are adorable. 2 hours later, there's that came before. She was very confident before the game. And then she sent me a stream of green face about to puke emoji, 3 puking emojis, 2 green face about to puke emojis, 1 more puke emoji. She said at some point, what the ONG? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. she said, why don't they play Davis at all? Siakam is scary and reliable right now. Take Pascal out for ? Losing our minds. Then sent me the gif of the Northwestern kid crying when Northwestern lost. And then a Seinfeld gif of Jerry, Elaine, and George all celebrating in the door. then a series of other emojis, dead. Then my grandma sent me a text just saying, I'm not washing my jersey until this is all over. It's parents getting involved is so fun. It's just a treat, man. I don't want it to end. That's for damn sure. I would like this to continue past Friday. We're going to talk a lot about the Raptors over the course of this podcast. We have other stuff to get to as well. We're going to dive into the Bucks flaming out in dramatic fashion and the Sharks circling the waters for Giannis Antetokounmpo already, because that's the way the transaction industrial complex works. We've also got a fun game we're going to play later on called NBA Nap Time in our segment we're trying out this week. I'm not going to give a whole lot of teaser on that, but mostly it's a way for me to talk about how good I am at napping and all the different ways in which you can nap, and we're going to apply to NBA players. There's a lot to get to today, Katie, so we'll get to that shortly. Also, a reminder to everybody that we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/upbasketball with two H's. You can join today for $4. You get into our Discord chat. You get free mailbag episodes once we get to 30 patrons, and that'll be exclusive for patrons only, of course, and lots of other fun perks as well, including access to a basketball trivia night. And an announcement on this: we were going to do this on September the 14th, but with the player strikes of a couple weeks ago kind of throwing off the schedule, there is now not a designated off day in between the semifinals and the conference finals. And so the 14th will now likely be game 6 between the Lakers and the Rockets, and maybe even a game 1 of the Eastern Conference finals. It's all kind of up in the air right now. And with the uncertainty and the lack of a clear off day next week, we are going to bump back a basketball trivia to September the 29th, a Tuesday. That is the day before the NBA finals are slated to start, and so that seems like a guaranteed off day that we can throw trivia on to get everybody geared up for the finals. So just a bit of a scheduling change there. Still, if you've signed up, you'll still be obviously included in the teams, and you still have time to sign up if you are a Patreon subscriber. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber and want to play trivia, you can do that still and sign up with lots more leeway time now as well. Of course, our media superstar ringer guests will be Joey Devine and Sean Keane. And Katie, we have two more guests to announce today. Would you like to do the big reveal?
Sure. our friends are, they're like not as good of our friends, but I want them to be our good friends, so maybe that was my ulterior motive in asking them. But Agata and Anastasia from Dunktown are going to be our other two team leaders. Is that what we're called?
Captains, leaders?
Captains.
Yeah, media ringers. Sure. Celebrity captains. Yes.
There are new celebrities.
Yeah. Dunktown is awesome. You should go listen to Dunktown. They also have a Patreon page that you can subscribe to as well. Very excited to have Agata and Anastasia on the trivia roster. So again, the more reason to go sign up right now over at patreon.com/basketball with two H's. Katie, we have plenty to get to today. Let's get to it now. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about the games that are going on right now, the series that are going on right now, and discuss the Miami Heat moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's all very, very exciting stuff, and that is coming up in just a second. All right, Katie, the second round of the NBA playoffs is well underway over the last week or so. I mean, it seems wild that a week ago we were talking about the Rockets and the Thunder playing a wonderful Game 7. So much has happened since then, including, as you mentioned off the top, that OG Anunoby shot, which led to this Raptors-Celtics series becoming an absolute classic, going into Game 7 on Friday. We mentioned the game last night in sort of a cursory way off the top, and more of a how we were feeling about it way off the top. But do you have any more thoughts on Raptors Celtics, on this series, on Game 7, on what to expect? This has been a wild emotional ride.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, I think I know you were kind of upset about maybe just Boston fans, but last night I thought it was kind of interesting when Marcus Smart tried to fight the whole Raptors team, toward the end of the game. I mean, stuff like that. Stuff like that I kind of like to see. I don't like to see, wouldn't have liked to actually see a fight, but I like to see that kind of stuff because, you know, you're getting under his skin. As a Raptors fan, I think you're showing like you really pressured them into a position where they were super uncomfortable. They were unraveling a little bit. You had like Tatum forcing a turnover, like just into the corner. That's its own, that's its own narrative. I'm really loving the only, cause also this is my take with like fans. People can be upset. That's okay. Like we would be very upset too. I don't know if we'd be upset in the same way as Boston fans are taking it out on people, but my favorite of like the narratives that have formed from last night is that Nick Nurse tricked, quote unquote tricked. Cause this is what I've seen like in like recap videos. There's even like a video from like TNT last night. They were like, yeah, Nick Nurse tricked him. It's like Nick Nurse who's like screaming, crouching, red in the face, like goatee, glasses, just wearing a polo, like screaming in the corner, isn't capable of tricking anyone because there needs to be some secrecy involved in the act of trickery, usually. And if your like franchise star is capable of being tricked that easily, you know, I got bad news for you. Like that guy's probably the most gullible dude on the planet. And it's gonna, you know, that's gonna cause you bigger problems in the long term. So that's kind of my favorite new narrative out of the series. But yeah, I don't know. The Celtics are, we started, I think, talking about how they were, you know, they're a good team as pieces, like as guys, like individually, they're all pretty likable. But now I don't really like them anymore.
In the history of Toronto Raptors playoff series, there's a real trend of other teams getting very angry at what's going on the sidelines of the Raptors and using that as an excuse for their complete deconstruction. I mean, you had last year, Mike Budenholzer getting very upset about Drake, and obviously we know where that series ended up. A few years back, there was the whole Drake clapping in Rodney Stuckey's ear and then forcing a turnover, and then everyone blaming Drake for that, even though it might have been Frank Vogel rolling out a bench unit in a huge game five. It's a really fun sort of thing that it's once a team starts blaming things going on not on the court for their misfortune on the court, that to me is always kind of a sign of an unraveling. And I mean, I can't imagine the Celtics feel good today about where they sit. They should probably have already won this series long ago and have had two games in particular where they just completely allowed the Raptors to like outwill them to victory. And I don't know. I feel a little bit dubious of the Celtics going into a game seven now, considering how the Raptors have very clearly shown themselves to be the more crunch time adept team. And hey, maybe Nick Nurse will pull his magic again as well and force more tricks from the Celtics. Like if they're prone to that too.
Yeah. I would disagree with you just in terms of like the Celtics should have wrapped this up by now. I mean, I think the Celtics got outplayed last night. I think, sure, you know, the Raptors, I don't know that the Celtics could have like swept them, if that's what you mean, like if they should have had this by now, because I think obviously this all kind of hinges on how the series ends up, but there's something to be said for like the Celtics not having been kind of through it and tested in this way in the playoffs, you know, like going through round after round. I mean, this is just the second round, and understanding that every game is a little bit different. They get really dirty. They get gross. They're not like pretty basketball anymore. It's not easy, you know? And I think like Toronto is really good at just like dragging itself along and like sometimes just like getting the win no matter what. Right. So I think they outplayed them last night, and I was happy to see it because that's something that's like, I kind of wondered in this series, like, oh, can Toronto like actually do that against this team? Like, this is their hardest matchup of any team, you know what I mean? And I think I really believe if like they get through this, no other series is going to prove as difficult.
Yeah. That's a good point. So the counter to that is that the Celtics were half a second and like an absurd once in a lifetime pass away from going up 3-0. And maybe that's where they feel some sort of regret.
Yeah,
over
but
how
that's
it's played
also
out. But
just
also,
playoff
yeah.
basketball too.
That's true.
That's just
that's
what
true.
Happens.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful series. I don't want it to go away as much as I also really want to never watch Marcus Smart or the Raptors or the Celtics ever again. I could watch this series for a very long time. It's quite compelling. Back to the coach thing and the trick thing. Is there a single coach in the NBA who looks less like a player than Nick Nurse when he's like doing his sideline thing?
Oh, yeah. Like probably Bud. most likely. I don't know. Yeah. Like that is just like a very weird thing because, you know, he also threw the pass like 10 feet wide of Nurse anyway. So I think he was just like forced into tossing it away. He saw kind of Tice there a little bit and maybe he thought he could reach and get it. But, you know, Nurse, I don't think like, again, if Nurse is the one who tricked you, like that spells problems for like the entire basis of your future franchise.
If Gordon Hayward were healthy, then maybe I could understand mistaking the two, but he is not healthy. He is not playing. Other series going on, Katie. We're going to talk more about Raptors Celtics a little bit later on in our segment we're trying out this week. So we'll address the other series now too. The Lakers are up 2-1 on the Rockets. This series, I don't know, maybe you don't feel this way, but like there was a lot of excitement going into it because of the star power on display and the very different styles. I kind of feel like through three games, it's been a bit of a dud so far, despite close games in pretty much every game so far, if I recall. It's not really doing it for me. Like watching Russell Westbrook makes me sad right now. The Rockets just kind of don't seem to have it, even though they won one game and were pretty close in game two. It just kind of feels like LeBron can decide when he's going to win the game. And that's kind of been the LeBron thing for his entire career. But it feels particularly true of this series where there's not really anyone who can actually guard him. And so I don't know. This series is not living up. And maybe it's also just like a come down from Rockets Thunder, which was just a fever dream. So I don't know. How are you feeling about Lakers Rockets through three games? Are you excited by it or is it falling a little bit flat for you?
I like this series. It's different than what I anticipated, but I don't mind it. I was maybe sad the first game watching Russ, but now I'm happy. I think like, it's interesting. This is just like two experiments, essentially, like going up against one another, and one of them's gonna explode. You know, like the Rockets. I said this this week on like our Dishes and Dimes Hoop Talk Live, but I'll say it again. Like, I didn't watch a lot of Rockets regular season games, and I understand that the MO of, you know, Houston is just to shoot threes. But I guess until I actually watched a few games, I was like, no, that's literally it. Like, that's what they that's what they want to do all the time. That's like kind of their only play, which I think is funny because they won't even really deviate from it when faced with like the Lakers size or the Lakers even going small. Like, I think it's interesting they kind of force Lakers to go small, but the Lakers are still gigantic when that happens. And it's like, you know, Harden and Westbrook are still putting up points, like significant points. And they have like, you know, there was like a Robert Covington bloodbath. But I think like, I don't know, I like it. It's not like, I don't know, as explosive as you think it would be. But I also think that's kind of a testament to these two teams. Like it's just like showy, right? It's like this kind of facade of being like, being explosive, but like everyone, like LeBron would get so pissed off if anybody on his team got chippy or got into it. Like, he just will not have them behaving that way. And the Rockets, like, you know, aside from, I think just Russ, are pretty a non-emotional team, you know, like they're almost, they can be as robotic seeming as their style of play. So I don't mind it. The dud for me has been Clippers Nuggets. I forgot how many games had even played and won in that series. I watched the beginning of it last night. Other than that, I haven't watched any games. Kawhi's had some great moments, but like, I'm don't like that's the forgettable one for me. Oh, also, yeah, I will say, I mean, after the first Rockets win, I listened to some Lakers podcast because I've never done that before, like crazy Lakers podcast. And I was so enthralled by the hosts of this one particular one. Which one is it? One of the hosts is like a professional wrestler, Lakers Nation, maybe. And they were like, he was like, I'm sickened. I've been sickened. I'm nauseous. I can't eat. I can't eat since the game. And I like was like, wow, like they're affected. And that is kind of like rounded out. I'm just thinking of them now when that series is going on. So I don't know. There's other points of intrigue for me there.
Yeah. The little sort of cottage industry of listening to the post game podcast of people who cover a specific team that just lost it's really good. I mean, I'm sure people probably do that when the Raptors lose a big game and I get morose on Locked On Raptors. But like, I feel like whenever I remember last year during the Raptors Sixers series, I would like tune into the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast only after Sixers losses. And just hearing the despair in their voices, it just fueled me in a way that I probably feel a little bit gross about, like getting this happy at people being sad. But it's a time. There's so many like very, very diehard folks who do podcasts now. And it just comes out. They leave it all on the table after a bad loss. And so I might have to go listen to that episode of that Lakers podcast. Katie, can you send me the link? That sounds like a pretty cathartic experience. Clippers Nuggets has been, I've kind of enjoyed it because it's just weird and kind of a funky series. And Jamal Murray is kind of going crazy or getting shut down entirely. And it's kind of like feast or famine with him. Nikola Jokic has been awesome. You got in game three, like the Nuggets are very close. Jamal Murray tries to go for a crunch time dunk and then Kawhi blocks it with his middle finger, which is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And also one of like the most conflicting plays I've ever seen as someone who loves Kawhi and also supports all the work that the king of the 519, Jamal Murray, does. It was a bit of a conflicting experience. What's been such a dud about the Clippers Nuggets for you? Is it just the fact that like it feels like the Clippers are very easily going to cruise here? Is it a lack of interest? Is it Michael Porter Jr. just being a big turnoff for everything to do with the Nuggets? What is leaving you wanting more from this series?
It's just boring. I guess it's like maybe it's what you think Lakers Rockets is. Like I don't think I was anticipating many fireworks with this series because the Clippers, weirdly, you know, from their regular season, which I think was a little bit more flashy maybe, aren't necessarily playing that way, even including the like eternal pest Patrick Beverley. But and then the Nuggets, that's just how the Nuggets play. Like I thought the Nuggets Jazz series was obviously incredible. And like them coming back from being down, Jamal Murray is like wonderful, wonderful to watch. But it seems like all of those things have just been like taken out of this series for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't even have like, it's to me, whoever wins, I mean, I think the Clippers will win, but like whoever would have won that series, I don't feel a thing about either way, which is weird to say, you know, even like a quiet alliance. I'm just like, we'll see who it is.
I mean, it's tough because like the drama in the East has been ratcheted up to a degree that just hasn't really hit so far in the West. Because I think everyone's kind of just waiting for that Lakers-Clippers matchup where it'll really kind of feel like it's actually the playoffs out West. And till then, it just kind of feels like biding your time. Although the Rockets could still win this series. Although there's some weird stuff going on with Daniel House right now that maybe we should talk about. There's not a lot of information on what the hell's going on, but it could be a pretty big deal for this series because Daniel House is maybe the fifth best player on the Rockets, and he's kind of important. Currently, he's under investigation for allowing one of the women who does the testing, the COVID testing down in the bubble, into his room. And that's all we know right now. Like, what?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, the implication is it was a romantic, intimate visit, not just to like get a deeper swab. I mean, in a way, I guess you're getting a deeper swap. I don't want to.
Oh my God.
I don't want to. I'm sorry I did that.
It's okay. It's not coming out. That's the title of the podcast, I think.
Get a deeper swap. House, I think, has a partner, right? He's a girlfriend, or I think that's what I saw with the kind of talk around the story. I don't know, man. It's like this is what people had thought might happen in the bubble, but I think they were thinking more of like Instagram models or like, you know, players bringing like women they were already kind of in touch with like into the bubble. But obviously that's not possible because I think they have kept up, from what we know, strict enough security that like clandestine meetings cannot happen. So what are you going to do? I guess if there's people there that have been swabbing you for months now, you've maybe grown attached to them in weird, like Stockholm syndrome-y ways. I don't know. It is strange though, because I mean, maybe he was just straight up like, oh, this seems fine because this person's already in the bubble with me. So yeah. I'm not really breaking any rules other than I'm cheated on someone. If he is in fact in a relationship, he's breaking those personal rules, but then is he breaking league rules? I don't know. Like, did they explicitly say you cannot engage in like intimate acts with staff? I don't know. Was that like a memo that NBA sent out?
I mean, I guess the thinking there is that maybe because
but this person, I guess, is probably not leaving the bubble. Maybe that's why.
Yeah,
right?
But also like this person would be someone who is in contact with how many people a day doing tests. And then I guess there's worry of like if the doctor or the tester has come in contact with someone who tested positive,
the risk
of like sort of cross-contamination that way. Maybe that's sort of the concern there, but a very weird story that could cause that series to end a lot quicker. And I'm sure we'll know more about it by the time we record next week. Hopefully there's nothing nefarious going on there. But yeah, very strange. And it's just a bubble ass story is what it is. On that note, I wanted to mention, so the people looking for comfort inside the bubble, looking for companionship, apparently, and this was not something I knew before this week, and apologies, Katie, I didn't put this on our rundown, but I just thought of it. Over the past week, Mike Malone went on kind of a screed talking about how it's ridiculous that coaches weren't allowed to bring family into the bubble, which I did not know. I thought they were just like everybody else. You're allowed to bring three people in and you're all good. Apparently not. And it seems as though for the conference finals, coaches will be allowed to after a stink has been made by Malone and then Rick Carlisle, head of the coaches association. That seems like a pretty dickish move by the NBA to, you know, go and invite a bunch of unnecessary teams and then also like kind of leave out a big faction of the people who are actually in there in the bubble for a long time from the whole getting to see your family thing. It seems a little bit devious and wrong and fucked up. And I'm glad that they're getting their families there for the conference finals, but it's too late. Like, it should have happened already.
I don't think it's devious. I think it's just kind of like their focus has been solely on keeping players happy and like keeping their morale up. So I think it probably was just an oversight, granted like a pretty large one. But I don't think they were like, well, let's just like not let coaches do it and hope no one notices. But yeah, I think like also then are they going to, is it not just head coaches, but they'll have like assistant coaches and all coaching staff there be able to bring someone in?
I'm assuming so. That would also seem like a dick move if it's like, all right, yeah, Nick Nurse, you can bring family, but Sergio Scariolo, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm kind of more interested in seeing Sergio's family, to be honest. And Nurse said he doesn't want, he's like, I'm not going to bring my family in. And like, that's a decision too, right? But I guess you want to make sure that the coaches had that decision. Basically, like if who could come in if they wanted someone to come in to see them. I also maybe get it, like from a coaching perspective, not to be like, you know, I'm the farthest like from this in my personality, but it's just in terms of being quote locked in. Like I'm not a very locked in person in that sense. I feel like players can have family there and it can support them. Unless you're Jimmy Butler, then I support what you're doing 100%. But Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's nice that they're remedying it. Rick Carlisle is like, I love that man. He's an incredible person. But I think it'll be cool. But you also can't get, I don't think you can get retroactively too bummed out about it. This is like an imperfect thing, right? Like the bubble, they've shown they've made adjustments as they've gone. They kind of knew there would be oversights. So again, I don't think it was anything nefarious. I think they've righted the wrong. But I don't know. Did you really want to see Bud's family? Not really.
Oh, good God, no. frog-ass children, probably.
Oh, no. We're so mean. This is such a mean one.
That's okay. There's sports hate involved. It's not real hate. It's just sports hate. It's fine. Okay. We got to talk about Coach Bud, and we're going to talk about the Miami Heat as well, finishing off Coach Bud and the Milwaukee Bucks in just a second. Like, lots to dive into there as we say goodbye to the number one overall seed Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get into that in just a couple seconds. All right, Katie, we continue on. We must talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, who are done. They lose in five games to the Miami Heat. They lose the first three of the series. Giannis goes down with an ankle injury about 11 minutes into game number four and is out for the rest of the series. They win game four with Chris Middleton going off, and then they sadly fall to the Miami Heat. I guess not very sadly, depending on your perspective on things. If you're a Jimmy Butler stan like Katie, you probably are not sad about it whatsoever. The Bucks are done. The Heat are on to the conference finals. Well, let's start with the Heat and give them their credit. And I mean, for the second straight week, I'll just allow you to wax poetic about Jimmy Butler and all of his virtues.
Though this was kind of a sad one, right? Like, I don't know. I bet it's probably not even how Jimmy wanted to win. He'll take the win. But I think, like, not having Giannis being able to play and then also having him hurt, I think it shows, like, though actually I take that back, because there's an interview with Jimmy where he said in the beginning of the season that he recognizes like the imperfections that the Raptors were able to take advantage of last season and win the title. And he was like, we're going to be basically cutthroat and do that if we are presented with the right opportunities. And they were. So never mind. Jimmy got what he wanted. Not that he willed it. He just took advantage of the situation. I don't know, man. That was weird. Like, the Bucks just didn't look right since the bubble started, basically. I don't know why. I don't think we should really become like too deeply analytics brained about it. I think that just something was really off. But all that said, I don't know that Giannis is like a nice guy. I don't think he's like going to take this personally in the sense that he's going to blame the organization for it. I don't think he's going to ask out anytime soon. Granted, I don't know what could, a lot can still happen in a season and next summer, but he's probably just like pretty bummed out at himself. No?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way he's not feeling this himself for sure. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy to deflect and point to other guys. He's not doing Michael Porter stuff today, where he's like, we're running through Jokic and Murray too much. Give me the ball more. I don't think that's what Giannis is going to be doing. But I could certainly understand if he's frustrated, considering the issues that the Bucks went through in the series were like predictable all the way through. Like, they kind of do one thing. It's easy to pick out exactly the one thing they do, and they don't really practice anything in the regular season because they play the exact same style every single night. And they're kind of left, even if Mike Budenholzer was able to adjust even a little bit, there's no guarantee they'd actually be able to properly execute the adjustments just because they don't have any time practicing it. It's like the anti-Raptors or anti-Heat, where they try everything and they just like use the regular season as a bit of a canvas to test things out. The Bucks just like go ahead and win games and don't change anything. So I can understand the frustration from Giannis there. I mean, it's Also, like, there's a lot of the sharks circling the water. I'm one of them. The Raptors are one of the teams in the talks to maybe get Giannis in 2021. It should be noted, he's not going anywhere next season, and next season could very much keep him around there if they do the right things and you know, reorganize a little bit and come out and win a title next season, which they very well could because Giannis is ridiculous and is totally on the table. But, you know, it's... I don't think it's off base to be wondering about his future there, considering everything, considering like the ownership cheaping out with Malcolm Brogdon and saying, yeah, he's a luxury. We don't really want to pay the luxury tax for, you know, someone who we feel like we can replace with more, you know, sort of effective use of that money, which they did not. And they left themselves sitting there with Eric Bledsoe once again, kind of doing his playoff Eric Bledsoe thing. And so I don't know. It's okay. Let me ask you this, Katie, like, what is the basketball fan rooting for most when it comes to the Bucks? Is it some big trade to properly support Giannis? Is it Giannis asking out? Is it Giannis just signing the Supermax and ending all of the conversation? Is it something else? Like, what are you, the basketball enjoyer who likes the league and wants the league to thrive, most hoping happens with Giannis and the Bucks?
I mean, I want Giannis to be happy. I'm like, I don't think that's like, I can really divorce that from my like basketball fandom because that's what my fandom is mostly based in. So, I know a lot of people want a shakeup. Maybe like Bud gets fired and like that's the shakeup. You know, I would like to see him thrive in a system where he's able to experiment and kind of like extend his role. And like sort of use all his like physical and like natural talents, you know. I don't think he's really in the best position necessarily to do that within the system that Milwaukee has now. But that said, I also think Milwaukee was this year and potentially could be next year, depending, I guess, on who they keep and what other players are added to support Giannis. But this was sort of like his best shot at a title. That's what the season seemed like it was going to be. And I think, you know, he probably views next season as the same thing. So I think he wants to stay and see it through. And I don't know why. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I guess, why it broke down. But yeah, like this is a weird, just like question mark for me. I don't feel, again, so impassioned that I'm like, he's got to get out. And like the guy, you know, like there needs to be like some shakeup for that to happen. I think they might just like quietly tinker and like tighten up. Maybe they ditch Bullenhoser, who isn't the most like, I guess that's maybe the one thing I can say strongly I dislike is just like Giannis deserves a more kind of creative and nurturing coach in that sense.
I got bad news for you, Katie. The NBA media shill in chief, Shams Charania, reporting this morning that Mike Budenholzer is safe and they're going to look to trade guard Eric Bledsoe. You know, the guy who will certainly net you a lot of complimentary pieces for Giannis in a trade. That is.
Yeah, so then you're kind of like, okay, are the organizational problems, not problems? Because they don't, I guess, view it as a problem. But the things that are keeping it this way are a little bit higher up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, I understand, like, Bud won Coach of the Year last year, and they did great things this regular season, and he very clearly can milk a lot of wins out of a team. But at this point, like, how do you not look at how his inability to change or adapt even a little bit, like, was the direct reason why you were not suited for a series against a team as well coached as the Heat? It just feels like you're asking for all the same problems. And like, this is now certainly going to, I don't envy Bucks fans because next season now, if Budenholzer are still there, they could win 78 games and people will be like, yeah, but Bud won't play his guys more than 37 minutes in the playoffs. So does it really matter? And you're just asking for all of those questions and all that pressure. You're not in line for any sort of rejuvenative sort of change. It's not like you know, when the Raptors moved on from Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse came in, you could actually sell yourself on it being different because Nick Nurse had different tendencies and values and beliefs as a coach than Dwayne Casey did. Like, you just have the same guy who has values and tendencies and beliefs that have not worked at all and could very well be the obstacle to you winning. Like, it's not a coincidence that Chris Middleton plays like 48 minutes in game three and they win the game by a hair. But if he doesn't play all those minutes, they lose it. It's like it's playoff basketball, man. And I don't know. Maybe I guess people are capable of change for sure. And, you know, coaches have done that in the past and changed their philosophies. But I think it's harder to do than just like listening to what people on the internet tell you to do. It's there's like a pride thing there. There's an ego thing there. And if Budenholzer has gone this long without changing anything, despite repeated failures, then maybe he can't change. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
that's a good way to.
It's very dumb to me, though. The last thing I'll say, though, it is very dumb to me that like this is a team that seems like they would care about like the all defensive, like their management would care about the all defensive teams, and now you're going to trade one of the guys who made it on that list. From like your double showing on the second list. Come on.
Yeah. You're also, again, you're not getting anything for Eric Bledsoe that's substantially going to improve your life right now, unless it's like he's matching salary. And that kind of leads me to like, as much as I would like the chaos of Giannis hitting free agency, and mostly because I know the Raptors are involved in that conversation, whether they get him or not, who knows? But like, I like the idea of him hitting the market. There's also part of me who is a Chris Paul liker, and you know, I really want to see Chris Paul win a title somewhere. And there's a Chris Paul trade somewhere there if they can make it work money wise to pair Chris Paul and Giannis together, and that would be really fun. And I think while also doubling down on how old ass that team is, it could also kind of revitalize them in a way that maybe a coaching change otherwise could. And like I'm kind of in a weird way that's kind of against my rooting allegiances as like a basketball fan. I kind of want that because, you know, it might adversely affect the team I like, but might also help out two players who I think kind of deserve way less shit than they get in Giannis and Chris Paul. And them together would be very, very fun. But, you know, the money is very difficult to work. And so I don't know if you can do it.
We'll see, man.
Yeah. On the topic of Chris Paul, we talked last week about the Thunder. They let go of Billy Donovan this week, who was one of the finalists, or I think one was like the co-coach of the year as voted by the coaches with Bud, which good week for those guys. And it kind of seems to hint towards maybe the Thunder tearing things down a little bit more and moving on from Chris Paul. Gallo's a free agent. I think this sucks. I think the Thunder were insanely fun with Chris Paul and figured to be quite good, and they have 1,000 draft picks already. So I don't really know what, like, it's diminishing returns almost to trade Chris Paul for even more draft picks, which is probably what it's going to end up being. And I just, it bums me out that a team that was very good, was the fifth seed, was, you know, a whisper away from making it to the second round, is going to do like Sam Presti bullshit and like look to the future and stockpile picks. And I think like they could very easily do both at the same time, be good with Chris Paul and then also have a good team down the line. And I'm bummed that it seems to be tracking in this direction.
We talked about basketball for too long now. So the only thing I'll say about this is I think it's like Billy Donovan is a cool coach. I always forget how tough he sounds. You know what I mean? Like he sounds like a real tough, wise guy. I think they're going to miss that.
Billy Donovan, she. Was that a tough
not
guy
quite.
Voice?
No, not quite.
Kit, do you have an impression you can do?
Not right now, no. You're a show pony. I'm not a parrot. I'm not just going to do this on the spot.
You know I would do it.
Yeah. That's the difference between us.
All right. With that, we are going to stop talking about basketball. There's been far too much basketball talk so far on this podcast. And we are instead going to talk about sleeping during the daytime, which I hope most of the members of the Raptors and Celtics are partaking in today ahead of Game 7 tomorrow. And on the other side, in the segment we're trying out this week, we are going to do something called NBA Nap Time, where we are going to go through each of the players who played 50 plus minutes in that crazy game six on Wednesday night and discuss how and for how long and the sort of manner in which they will be getting their extra Z's today. It sounds like a silly concept. It works better in my brain than it probably sounds as I put it out. So just get ready. It's going to be great. I promise you. NBA Nap Time coming up. All right, Katie, it's time for the segment that we're trying out this week, as alluded to before the break. This is called NBA Nap Time, where we are going to analyze the sleeping patterns of some very tired boys from the Celtics and Raptors after last night's 2-0 thriller. So basically the reason I wanted to talk about this is Katie, you may or may not know, I love to nap. I think napping rules. It is a good way to kill a day you don't want to be going on. It's a good way to make up for perhaps a not so good sleep the night before. It's a good way to just kind of recharge the batteries in the middle of the day. And I tend to kind of vary what my naps look like. I'll go for longer times. I'll go for shorter times. I'll do it with the TV on. I'll do it with the TV off. I'll do it in a hammock. I'll do it on a beach. I'll do it like basically anywhere with a soft surface. I can nap, and I have napped, and I will nap in the future. So my question, Katie, to you is, A, what is your view on napping? And B, we're going to go through all of these players and discuss what their napping habits might be today as they look to recharge for a big game seven on Friday. Does this all make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm not a good napper. I wish I was, but what usually happens, even when I like really want to and need to nap, is I wake up, I either like, I guess, overdo it, and then I wake up overtired, and like I feel like I'm in a vortex for the rest of the day. And most of the time I'm like, well, I kind of wake up and then I'm like, I could probably just go back to sleep and sleep for the night, no matter what time it is. Even if it's like 4 p.m, I'm like, the better decision for me would be to just sleep, continue to sleep. So I don't know. I also wake up a little bit panicked sometimes, depending. The best way I've like found to nap is if I have like, usually it's like, a Planet Earth or like a nature documentary going.
Hell yeah.
I did this also really well to the Ken Burns documentary about the West documentary, which is kind of a gruesome bloodbath and extremely depressing. But I found that to nap against it when it was just an autoplay, you could kind of, I would doze in and out, and there'd be like, I didn't ever feel like I was missing anything. And the fact that it was on, I was like, okay, I guess I can't have been sleeping for like days.
Yeah.
Even though nature shows are like over an hour long each. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I found that's what helped me, but I'm not a great napper.
Yeah. See, the rookie mistake for you is not setting an alarm or anything like that and the sort of sleeping too deep into your REM cycle.
Then I feel too pressured to fall asleep because then I'm like, ooh, this alarm is going to go off at X time, so I got to fall asleep. And then I usually don't fall asleep.
So what you're saying is that you would not be prepared for game seven if you were to have to play it tomorrow after playing 50 minutes last night. Is this correct?
I mean, what I would probably try and do would be sleep in as long as I could, get up, have some good meals today, and get a massage, get some treatment, maybe a light workout if I felt like I wanted to do it, and then, you know, hunker down as early as I could.
That makes sense. I think just based on the way you're describing it, we kind of have similar sort of like go-to naps. Like I love a nature show or like a dumb sitcom I've seen 1,000 times or whatever it is. So let's dive into each of these players here and discuss what their naps might look like today based on their very different energies and spirits and all that. So Kyle Lowry played 53 minutes in game six, was obviously the star and hero of the game. How do you think Kyle Lowry is going about napping today? Keep in mind some of the factors at play here. He's a little bit older. He's in his mid-30s. He's got a lot of mileage on his legs. He's probably going to, I would guess, he's going to have the most sort of robust nap of all the players involved in this conversation here today. He also has kids and has probably been dodging that in his nap schedule his entire life. How do you imagine Kyle is going to be resting up today ahead of game seven?
Probably, like I said, I mean, if his kids are there, we haven't seen his kids there though. Have we?
No, I don't know if his kids are there. Yeah.
Yeah. So they might not be there. But I still feel like he's probably, I don't know, Kyle's probably checking in on his teammates, seeing how they're doing and feeling. And then I think he's probably like, doing what I said. I feel like he tried to sleep in. He's probably like, when you're that age, you have a routine. So he, even if he wanted to sleep in late, I bet he couldn't really sleep in too late, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just probably like, maybe he got a walk in. Maybe he got a light workout in. He enjoyed a good breakfast in the swamp. On a swamp terrace somewhere. I hope just kind of taking it easy.
So I used to, for my day job, I used to walk around for like 6 hours a day as the guy who would read your gas meter. It was a very tiring job, especially in like the summer when it's very, very hot. And also I would have to wake up at like 5 a.m. just to beat traffic and like make sure I got all my work in. And I would come home and just be absolutely wiped. And I found that some of my very best naps were kind of naps where I didn't like have any sort of alarm or anything like that. I just kind of, you know, laid down and I'm going to sleep until I don't need to sleep anymore. And I would just kind of lay down and oftentimes it would be like 4 p.m. till like 7:30 and I'd wake up. And that's just long enough where it's like, oh, I feel unbelievable. It's kind of the sleep cycles have kind of reset to the beginning again and you just feel wonderful. So I think that's what we're going to see from Kyle today. I can't imagine like how droopy eye he must feel today after last night. And so I think we're going to see a very, very long, deep and rejuvenative nap that almost resembles a night's sleep at some point in the middle of this afternoon for Kyle. He might be laying down for it quite soon. Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, I want to lump in here right now because I think these two guys are the most likely to do a friends team nap situation like Ross and Joey. Does that check out to you at all?
I'm not really a Friends fan, but sure.
No.
Also, no, they have separate rooms. Maybe they were like call each other and they were chatting and then they were like, one of them starts
talk
dozing off and
sleep.
He's like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to. No, not like you hang up. No, they're just like one starts to pass out and he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to fall asleep. I'll talk to you later.
I like that. I don't honestly think anyone is going to be doing a Joey Ross situation just because, like you said, the separate rooms, the quarantine, all that stuff. But I do think if they're going to be two dudes who have like a tandem nap, it's probably those guys. OG Anunoby. Is he napping at all, or is he just continuing on his metronome lifestyle? Do you think he is changing up his sleep patterns for the day, even a slight bit?
Probably not. I mean, he said, too, that he didn't, like, he got asked what he was doing to pass time in the bubble, and he was like, I don't really leave my room very much. You know, he's just, like, playing video games. He listed, like, every streaming service there was, I think. So, no, I don't think he's really disrupted his schedule to nap today.
Mm-hmm. I could see him being like a micro nap guy, like a 2 minute at a time kind of guy. Yeah.
Those are very foreign to me. Never experienced one myself.
It's kind of a thing I sometimes do. Like if I need just to rest my eyes for a sec and I know I need to be somewhere, like a 5 minute, just lay down, close your eyes and then like set an alarm so you don't doze into a deeper sleep. Find it's a really good way to kind of pace yourself through the day. So I could see OG getting into that kind of thing. We move on to the Celtics. They had four players play 50 minutes last night as well. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and Marcus Smart, who played 49. We're going to round up to 50. Jaylen Brown is an interesting one to me. A very interesting guy. Does he believe in naps? Does he believe they're a waste of the day?
I think he believes in... He's got like a young son. And I think, at that
Jaylen
age,
Brown
you're
does?
Like... Whoops. Jason Tatum does. Jaylen Brown doesn't.
Right.
I need a nap. I don't know. Then I don't know. No, I don't think he's a napper. I think he's like maybe a little bit I don't know. He liked hanging out by the pool. Maybe that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But he also liked to do that when his buddy Donovan Mitchell was still in the bubble and he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's feeling lonely.
Hey, I've had a depression nap or two in my life. Sometimes it's just you don't want the day to be going on, so you lay on. Oh my god.
Down. Dark. This is a dark segment.
Hey, it's okay. Usually the nap makes you feel a little bit better about the day. I don't know. So you're saying Jaylen Brown's taking depression naps. We move on.
No, you Jason said Tatum. That.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm just putting words in your mouth. We move on to Jason Tatum, who, as you mentioned, has a small child. And it certainly affects the sleeping schedule. I'm kind of torn when guys have small kids, because it's either you nap while the kid's taking a nap, or the kid is just constantly keeping you up and you don't have time to nap. It seems like one or the other. It's kind of feast or famine with that. How do you think Tatum is going to be resting up today?
He's probably like going to rest around probably his family schedule, right? Because I think he's like keeps, again, I don't, is his son there? I don't know.
I feel like
he must be, because they just like based on like their communication thus far and how much like he missed them, but maybe they're not.
There have been fewer, I haven't seen any posts since the start of the round. About
there aren't that many kids like their in Zoom the calls. Bubble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Raptors, I think, have like overwhelmed it more than anybody else.
Maybe. Because there was an article about like the school, the NBA school that's popped up in the bubble, which is very cute, but there's only like 12 and like it includes a daycare, but I think I said there's only like 12 kids there. So I think a lot of players have decided not to. Anyway, I think Tatum is just like waiting to see then when he can like call his family and like chat with them, and he'll like nap around that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like the well-timed, I found a thing that I've sort of adapted to during pandemic times is like finding the pockets between different conference calls to grab 30 minutes here or there. I'm a big napper, Katie.
Do you have like an iron deficiency?
No, I
don't know. Maybe you should. Do you take vitamins?
Maybe I should. I find sleeping is a good use of time. It makes me feel better. I also like to stay up late, so it kind of powers me to that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was certainly more into it when I was doing like morning radio every day during the peak of the pandemic. That's not so much the case anymore, but still, I like when I was on vacation, a post beach nap is always really nice. I forgot. Right. There's lots of different categories of nap, and I think all of these players are hitting on one or the other. Kemba Walker. I don't think he's napping at all today. I think he's trying to nap, but he's sitting there, sitting awake, looking at the ceiling, thinking about his 2 of 11 performance for 5 points in game number 6. Does that check out to you, or is he sleeping it off?
Sure.
Look, Katie, you could have suggested a different segment for this, but instead you've chosen to indulge me in a topic that I care far too much about. Mm-hmm. So this is
supporting you in this.
You've made your bed, pun definitely intended. Marcus Smart's the last 50 plus minute player here. I feel like Marcus Smart is kind of a person who's like, naps are wasted time, sleep is a cousin of death, that kind of energy. And I could imagine him going around to his teammates' rooms and banging pots and pans when they doze off to ensure they're not wasting the day sleeping. Does this sound like Marcus Smart to you?
I feel like if he's trying, like he's maybe like furtively napping, like if he's trying to nap, then he's like kind of tossing and turning and he can't relax, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's like a saboteur in the sense that he's going down the hallways and like banging on his teammates' doors.
That is certainly more Jimmy
Butler
sounding.
Maybe he's doing that to, if he knew what floor the Raptors were on, and I mean, he probably does. Then that maybe that's something I could see him doing and being like, oh, I thought I was on our floor, but not to his own teammates, because that would be very stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mark is dumb, as many people called him last night, as he tried to fight the entire Raptors. I don't know. It's like a common tweet that people, it's like one of the easiest. Usually it's like a tweet that I
that's
resort
a
to Marcus
fruit,
fart.
Guys. Come on, we can do better.
Yeah, I resort to Marcus Fart myself, but...
also pretty bad.
It's so bad. It's insanely bad, but I'm aware. I understand this. Any last thoughts on the fellas getting some rest today, Katie? We've gone through all the 50-plus minute guys. Any closing thoughts? I feel as though, like we were done with the basketball talk, you may be done with nap talk as well.
It's making me feel bad because I feel really tired today, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get a nap in, so... Maybe I'm just jealous.
I'm definitely going to get a nap in. I'm like counting down the clock to like 2 o'clock where I'm kind of free and I have a bit of a window. So I'll let everybody know next week how that went. Anyway, let's wrap things up, shall we, Katie? Let's move on to our posters of the week. I can start here. I'm just going to give it out. This is a bit of a cheat, but I'm giving it to everybody who tweeted about Kyle Lowry on Wednesday night, every player. Past and present, you had Dwayne Wade, you had Terrence Ross and DeMar DeRozan in a very heartwarming turn of events, Joel Embiid, Kevin Love, I think CJ McCollum called Kyle a Hall of Famer, and then you even had your friend and not mine, Paul Pierce, dropping Kyle Lowry love and respect. This was awesome, Katie. One of my favorite parts of the night was just like the widespread adoration of Kyle Lowry.
I missed that with Paul Pierce, but that's good. But I mean, I also don't like that because I'm like, ooh, stop, you know, get your curse in general, Paul Pierce, as we know, away from him. Yeah, that was really nice. I mean, I love to see that, and players always seem to know. It's when like other people and like media who should know better is like, oh, can we finally have the Kyle Lowry Hall of Famer conversation? Like, okay, finally. Like, anyway, yeah, that was wonderful. But mine is actually someone who's been outside of the bubble this whole time. Otto Porter Jr. has gone on vacation somewhere. First, he was just in like outside of Salt Lake City. Because I know he was on the Salt Flats because I've been there before too, out in the desert. And then I think maybe he went to like Tahoe or something because he was up in a mountain lodge. Anyway, he just seems to be having a really nice time, but he's posting these really mystical, he's like really imbibing in like desert energy, which is a real thing. Like people who live out in the desert usually fit this kind of, and they'll tell you first, they're like, I felt drawn here. I feel like really tied to the energy of the desert. It's just like a weird, it's its own brand of people. Anyway, Otto Porter Jr. has been posting pics with captions in that vein, like you must protect your energy at all costs kind of thing. and I really like it. He also just like looks so happy. So I want that for him. I want him to store that all up until next season starts.
Yeah, I'm glad for Otto Porter escaping the shackles of playing under Jim Boylan and for the Chicago Bulls and having himself an offseason and an extended
protect your aura.
That.
Protect your aura, Otto.
Katie, that has brought us to the end of today's podcast. Far too much basketball talk, but it called for it. And this is like a notably not super weird week in the NBA as well. I'm sure we'll get back to our bullshit next week with some oddities that take place between now and then. But it was still lovely talking to you, Katie. It's the favorite part of my week every single week. Do you have anything that you would like to plug for the people?
Now I feel bad for razzing you on your nap segment. You just had to get that in there.
It's okay. I'm just gonna go for a depression nap later on. And,
yeah, that's the one that you'll be taking good. Today. That's all yes, right. Yes. not really. If I think people should sign up for our trivia.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think it's going to be really fun. People, I think one question I've gotten is, oh, but I'm not really good at trivia or like facts, like basketball, kind of traditional basketball trivia and facts. But this isn't going to be like that. We're not out here to like have a gotcha moment of everybody with like, we're like the least number answerable. What am I trying to say? The least questions that are answered with like a stat or a number. And then if you get it wrong, you're like, you feel stupid. We're not going to have questions like that.
No. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, I think there'll be some remembering some guys probably.
Yes.
It'll be, yeah, it'll be an enjoyable experience. And you'll have ringers on your team in Joey, Sean, Agata, and Anastasia as well to help you out. So don't be intimidated by the questions. I have done trivia nights in the past and have made them quite hard. That will not be the case. This is going to be fun, not hard.
Fun, not hard. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. That's a good that's a good motto for the trivia.
With that, you can find me on Twitter as always at Woodley Sean. Check out Locked On Raptors. Lots of coverage of the crazy ass Raptors Celtics series going on. Katie and I also did a mailbag episode yesterday, if you want to go check that out, in which we played calming nature sounds underneath two of our segments as we were trying to calm ourselves before game six. It's a good thing we did that, because going into that game with a high resting heart rate would have been a problem, I think, because it ended quite high by the end. That's going to do it for today's show. Please make sure you're going to patreon.com/upbasketball to sign up for both the Patreon and get to the mailbag episodes once you get to 30 patrons, as well as Trivia Night on September the 29th, our new date, which will definitely be an off day with the final starting on September the 30th. Twitter is at @upbasketball as well. Always appreciate a follow over there. And big thanks to producer Dylan, as well as Sean, Clay, Jess, the entire Space Monkey crew. It's a wonderful place to work and wonderful people to work with, and we're very glad and thankful that they help us put on this podcast or offer the platform to do it, period. So thank you very, very much. Yeah, they don't help us. They are what they're, the lifeblood of everything. I'll stop gushing. Go listen to the other Stringer podcast as well. Sportsfeld had a wonderful reaction podcast last night, right after Game 6. Columbia House Party going along with wonderful stuff as well. And that's going to do it for today's episode. We'll talk to you again next Thursday with another round of Basketball.